Hello and welcome to another Cambridge United Game of the Decade. Yes, another show. We look back over the last decade of games at the Abbey Stadium, Cambridge United, and myself and Tim Armitage count down our top five. This week, we're on to our fourth best game of the decade, and joining us to chat about it, to save myself and Tim just babble on about it as we do from the stands, is a man who was involved in the action, Robbie Simpson, Hughes legend. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Robbie.
No problem. Thanks for having us, Ali. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Hot. It's very, very hot, isn't it?
It is pretty warm.
I don't function too well in the heat, but I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, I can't complain.
Good. I imagine pre-season training in this heat over the years must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm giving running orders and I can pick and choose what one run I join in on now.
that first beep test of the season in this weather must be really horrible.
Yeah, sweaty palms.
Yeah, not nice at all. Anyway, let's get on to the action. And this week we are talking about another two games that I've chosen one, Tim's chosen another one in our countdown of the best five used games at the Abbey Stadium of the decade. We're at number four in the charts this week. We'll start with myself. I've gone for Cambridge United's 5-1 win over Oxford on the 11th of October 2014. And the reason I chose this one, I was trying to pick a game that sort of encapsulated that real feel-good factor of getting promoted into League Two. It was either this one or the 1-0 win over Plymouth in the first game when Josh Coulson scored. I went for the Oxford one, mainly because I think as a game, it was probably better than the Plymouth one, although that moment when Josh scored and we won was incredible. Yeah, I'd probably say this game was better, of course. Some will come on to admit Kwesi-Appiah getting two goals. You know, we had some of the best players in that time who got us up to the league and then after into the Football League as well, the likes of Ryan Donaldson, of course, yourself, Robbie as well. Just a real sort of great time to support these and a real good feel-good factor about it. Robbie, let's start with you. What were your memories from that 5-1 win a few years ago, and also that time being a youth player?
Yeah, well, before we get onto that game, you mentioned the Plymouth game there. That was huge for me, that Plymouth game, because obviously I dropped down from League One to come back to Cambridge, and I was hopeful more than confident that we could perform really well in that league and get promoted again, back to back. But Plymouth are a really good side, and to beat them 1-0, keep a clean sheet. The performance we gave that day was amazing. For Josh to get the goal was pretty much a fairy tale, I think. First goal back in the Football League. That is a game that does stand out a lot for me. But I think you're right. The game against Oxford had something about it where it really stood out that season, I think. It was live on Sky. Yeah. Probably the first live game on Sky that the youth had for quite a while, I would imagine. You know, the whole Oxford-Cambridge thing. Mm-hmm. Going a goal down. And then, yeah, coming back to win 5-1 is pretty memorable. The most memorable thing for me is the amount of stick I got for kissing my badge after I scored the fifth goal. I had so many other players message me saying, "What have you just done?" Well, my club.
Clearly Cambridge meant that much to you. Tim, what were your memories from it?
I think, as you say, I mean, it was just the, you know, getting used to being a League Two side after so long in non-league and to be on, you know, a fairly reasonable run. I think we were around about 12th in the league, you know, after about 12 games. So, you know, what a great position to be in after just coming up. And again, it's just another one of those, the whole atmosphere of the day is what makes it. Yeah. The game's memorable and that makes the whole thing, you know, the whole thing memorable. I think you have to, you know, given Kwesi-Appiah's status within fans, it's kind of like we had to include a game where he scored some goals. You just look at the team sheet and you just listening to the commentary and thinking of the team of that era, you know, from the playoffs, from the trophy final into the playoffs and then into league, was just a really good time to be a Cambridge fan, I think.
Yeah, certainly was. And just before we come on to the commentary, Robbie, you mentioned you were hoping to go back to back. So that was like a clear aim in the side, was it, to try and use that momentum and get promoted out of League Two?
Yeah, definitely. Before I signed for Cambridge, and I've mentioned it previously, like at that time I'd never had a promotion and I definitely wanted one before I was to retire. And to get one with Cambridge would have been, you know, the icing on the cake, the best thing ever for me, really. So I wanted to get promoted back to back for sure. And a lot of teams have done it. You know, 12 games in, like you said, we're thinking we can get in the playoffs here, definitely with the team we've got.
Yeah, there was certainly a real feel-good factor about the club at the time, at that point. Let's go on to the commentary. And there's only one place, or probably one player, to start with. Oxford have already taken the lead as Mark Johnson provides the commentary for BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Powerful header away by Robbie Simpson, and Elliott makes the ball available for Donaldson. Looking for the ball over the top. Appiah will reel it in. Edge of the area. Appiah! First time effort. Rasping drive beyond the keeper, who had no chance. What a strike from Kwesi Appiah. Looking to win the ball back. Oxford in possession. They've nearly stopped it. They have slipped it. It's gone back by Simpson. Now Appiah. It looks to twist and turn. Appiah. It draws the keeper, who makes another good save. And it runs to Appiah. And United are in front. Well, it was a mistake by Oxford. It was won back by Luke Chadwick, actually, to Appiah. In on goal, keeper made a super save. It span loose to Appiah again. And in the final minute of normal time at the end of this first half, Appiah has given United the lead for the first time today.
So, Robbie, let's start with Kwesi Appiah. We've just heard his two goals there as the Ewes went in front. Just how good was he? Of course, for Ewes fan, of course, we know he's probably a fan's favourite despite only playing 40-odd games. But he did seem, no disrespect to any other players, but he did seem a step above.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. Obviously, he had a previous loan spell at Cambridge, which I think helped because he didn't take any time to settle in as maybe other loan players did. And because he'd achieved or helped the Ewes achieve the promotion, he'd already bought into what the club was all about and really wanted to help them achieve, rather than just being a lone player that comes to a club to get games for personal reasons. And his qualities were, you know, he was quick, strong, could hold the ball up, wasn't the tallest, but was good in the air and a great finisher. And I remember pre-season I was injured and I made it back for the Plymouth game. I hadn't trained, but I was on the bench and came on. I came on the first few games centre midfield. And then as I got fit, I played up front. And then Tom Champion, I think, broke his cheekbone. And I remember Richard Money saying, we need to find a way to play without Champs. I kind of like volunteered. I said, look, I'd love to play there. I think I'd do a good job there. And not only that, I think Tommy Elliott and Kwesi would make a really good partnership up there if we were to play, you know, 4-4-2, which we were at the time.
Yeah,
and I think he took some convincing, but eventually I played there. I remember we played Burton away as well at a similar time. Went to their place and beat them 3-1. It might have been the game before Oxford. We played really, really well, and I played centre midfield, and I found it really good actually in there. I loved playing in there. I was always involved in the game defensively and going forward. And I remember that Oxford game in particular. They had Brian Howard, who had started the season really, really well, kind of in the number 10 off Danny Hilton. And they were a very, very good team. But everything seemed to go through Brian Howard. So I just made it my mission for them never to play him the ball, really. And I was a bit naughty off the ball with him because I knew he wouldn't like the physical side. I was giving him little pinches and little kicks off the ball. And he wasn't very happy with me. He still texts me about it to this day, actually.
It's funny, you talk about moments in football games that you remember, that Burton game. If you ever get a chance to, I don't know whether the highlights are still on there, but there was a run from Dunk down the wing where he's tackled by a ghost halfway down. He literally is running with the ball and falls over with no one around him. He doesn't even touch the ball. It was just one of those moments where you think, what happened there?
It must have been one of his elusive stepovers that tricked himself, probably. Tim, before we just hear the rest of the commentary clips, Kwesi Appiah, I got just looking at his stats as well. 40 games at the club, 18 goals, 8 assists. So involved in 26 goals in those 40 games. And the season we got promoted as well, that from the conference, 14 games, 10 goals and 4 assists. So you knew that the Ewes were going to score every game he played, either to get an assist or score. Where does he rank in the players you've seen at the Abbey?
He's there as one of the best, but I think it was more than that, though. It wasn't just that he was scoring goals. The big difference back then was there were goals coming from everywhere. So we had Kwesi there putting goals away, but Kwesi had a lot of support from other people scoring goals. And I think that's, if you look at where we're at now, that's the big difference, is the strength in depth in goal scorers. And he was just there at the right time with the skills he brought to the table. And that's why he's such a folk hero at the club, despite, as you say, a relatively relatively small number of appearances. Anytime there's a transfer mentioned or anything, it's everyone wants Kwesi Appiah first, which would be interesting if he ever came back, whether it would work.
he's still attached, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. I mean, that was because when they were talking about signings at the start of the season, the fan forum went mental when they found out that he's not got a club, and you know, it's got to be the choice. And you could do nothing more for actually bringing people in than to sign him, even if nothing else happens, I think.
Yeah, you feel sorry for the Cambridge admin, don't you? Anytime they've got a new player, instantly get thousands of
I think it's just become a running joke now until probably the day Kwesi retires. Even then, he still be shouts for him to come out of retirement.
Well, listen, anyway, there's still managerial positions available for him once he retires, so there you go.
What Tim was saying there is absolutely spot on. And I remember, obviously, Paul Tisdale, who I played under, he always used to say to me, we used to speak quite regularly, he always used to say to me, he would much rather have four players get 10 goals than one player get 30. And Tim's just summed it up brilliantly there. Kwesi was a great player, but without the rest of us, and then we wouldn't have been as good a team, which probably then wouldn't look as good on Kwesi, or maybe it might look better, actually.
we'll come on to the rest of the team in just a bit. Let's just quickly wrap up the commentary clips from Mark Johnson back at the Abbey Stadium.
Might run to Donaldson, 3-1, clinical finish from United. It was Appiah who dug it out, delivered the cross. It was behind Elliott, but it was perfect for Ryan Donaldson, who thundered it home. 10 minutes into the second half, United with a two-goal cushion. Taylor delivers the cross, looking for Elliott. Elliott in space, 4-1. Well, they left Elliott the freedom of the penalty area, and if you do that, you'll get punished. And Tom Elliott has punished Oxford. Dunk on the edge of it as well. In comes the corner, deep towards the far post, and through everyone is side-footed home. It's Robbie Simpson. It's 5-1, and United home and hosed.
So, Robbie, of course, the game finished 5-1. You mentioned to me before we came on air, it's probably one of your best games in a U-shirt. Why was that?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that you personally, or just the feel-good factor at the time? Or?
Both, really. Both. Oxford, did they get promoted that year? I think they got promoted that year. Yeah, personally, I felt like it's one of the best games I've ever had in a U-shirt. Me and Liam Hughes played centre midfield. Ryan Donaldson on the right, Chaddy on the left. Obviously, Tommy and Kwesi up top. And felt like, obviously, we went behind. But I think from the moment we went behind, we just completely dominated the game and played lovely football on the floor. Everyone was fit. We kind of ran over the top of them, but played amazing football at the same time. It was, looking back, it was probably the most complete performance I've been involved in any club, really, but certainly in a U-shirt.
I have to ask you, just after that performance, especially topping it off with a goal at the end, you didn't fancy the knee slide into the corner?
No, definitely not. I don't think I've done that since, Tim.
Very harsh. I remember, I think there's a canvas as you walk down, I mean, not the best place to put it, as you walk down under the main stand towards the toilets of you doing the old Cristiano Ronaldo jumping around.
Oh, and that's right, yeah.
Got some stick for that one as well, I think.
Before we come on to Tim's choice and the Morecambe game, when you walked into that sort of 2014-15 dressing room, Robbie, could you tell it was a side who'd just come up?
Yeah, you could tell. There's always an atmosphere in dressing rooms. If I compare the dressing room I walked in with Cambridge to the dressing room I walked in at MK Dons that had just been relegated from League One, you couldn't get further apart. You could tell that a team and the players had just got promoted, the camaraderie was there. Instantly you walk into the dressing room and you feel the positivity. You can't undervalue atmosphere and attitude in the changing room and bringing the group together so they're playing for each other. You can't underestimate that at all. And the youth certainly had that when I walked in that season.
Yeah, certainly felt like that from the outside in anyway. Let's move on to Tim's choice. I believe the 2015-16 season under Mr. Sean Derry, probably the standout performance under Derry. Tim, why did you choose it, the 7-0 over Morecambe?
Tuesday night under lights at the Abbey is always a great place to be. We've had some quite memorable performances, as we'll see later, in the top five. And it was just it was just a feel good night. I think everything came together. Everything happened that night. And 7-0 was, you know, it was the best home win of the season. To be, I think it was 5-0 at half time. To be in that position and wondering whether we were going to make that, you know, double figures, was just again just a feel good moment in the season. A nice evening out and a fantastic result. And Kevin Ellison was in the losing side.
I think the best way to do this is just play all the goals. Let's hear all 7 from Mark Johnson at the Abbey Stadium, from BBC Radio Cambridge, and then we'll get Robbie's thoughts after that.
Penalty then to the Ewes, which Berry will take, right footed. Short run from just inside the area. Dancing on the line is a keeper. Berry scores! United in front, 6 minutes on the clock. Well, he made a right hash of his last penalty, did Luke Berry. Nothing fancy about that. Bottom corner, 1-0 to the Ewes. Ball back to Harrison Dunk. He'll look to get to the byline, take on his man, gets the shot away, and it's landed in the net. Harrison Dunk, I'm not sure he was trying that, but it flicked off a defender and looped over the keeper. And United, 18 minutes in, have doubled their lead. Darnell Furlong on the overlap, down the right-hand side, almost level with the edge of the area. He's got 3-4 in the box, if he can pick out a cross from here, and he'll go to the byline and then deliver it into towards Harrison Dunk, and he's nodded home, and it's Dunk again, climbed above Ben Williamson and a defender, and Harrison Dunk makes it 3-0 from Darnell Furlong's perfect cross. 26 minutes gone, United in overdrive. United looks stung by what happened on Saturday and taking it out on Morecambe as Ismail waltzes past his man, whips across it, and it's 4-0. It's Williamson at the near post. It was pinged in at the near post from Zeli Ismail. Williamson threw himself for the ball. We've had half an hour. United have 4. And he comes deep towards that far side. Coulson arriving at pace. Ball straight up in the air. Berry wraps his foot around it. And Roberts knocks it home. Ball came off the keeper from Luke Berry's shot. And Mark Roberts, in first half stoppage time, sees United add a 5th goal. It's Hughes 5. Morecambe 0, and we've only had half a game. Clark deep, looking towards that for Hoppos. Berry back in towards Ledson. Ledson makes it 6! Finally. In fact, it's Ben Williamson who thumped it home. Or was it Zeli Ismail? I stand corrected, and I do as people stand in front of me. It's Zeli Ismail who thundered it home from just inside the area. Got everything behind that from the corner. Found his way through to him, bit of space, and Zeli Ismail, 14 minutes into the second half, makes it Cambridge United 6, Morecambe 0. Luke Berry then to take, right-footed against O'Hara, and puts it straight down the middle. Berry's 2nd of the night, United 7th. It started and ended with a Luke Berry penalty, United in 7th heaven.
So, Robbie, what was your thoughts on the Ewes at that time? I probably speak for Tim as well. So I'm not sure under Derry is perhaps the best football we've seen over the last decade. But in terms of the players we had in that team specifically, you look at obviously Darnell Furlong now at QPR, or even gone to West Brom, I think. Obviously Luke Berry, Max Clark, who's gone on to have a decent career, like Ledson as well, and Zeli Ismail. So a time when we had some fairly decent individual players, and to be fair, we obviously weren't too far off the playoffs either.
Yeah, we were on a great run. I think Sean Derry came in and instantly made an impact. He brought in good young loan players, made some good signings, and we were steamrolling towards the playoffs. I thought we went on a really, really good run, and that Morecambe game, like Tim said, everything came together and showed that we really could push towards the playoffs. I know Morecambe might have been struggling at the time, but to put in such a performance, it probably sent a message out to the rest of the league that we were on our way. I get some feedback all the time, so I followed Cambridge avidly, really. And there was changes the following season that maybe tarnished Sean Derry's time at the club. Certainly for when he first came in for the remainder of that season, he did unbelievably well to get us from lower half of the table, sort of thinking, are we going to get relegated, to touching playoffs. That game in particular, I didn't remember too much of it when you said you were gonna mention it. But having seen the highlights and kind of took my mind back, I remember it was not long after Sean Derry had pulled me in and said that he wasn't going to play me again because of a clause in my contract. So I needed 3 more appearances to get another year. And Sean Derry obviously had been given a budget for the following year, and he didn't want some of that budget taken up, you know, out of his hands, really. And I know that there was plenty of budget taken up off him through signings the previous summer anyway. Like, there's lots of players that signed on good money on 2 and 3 year deals. So he probably didn't want another large chunk of that taken up by me, or at least at that time he didn't know whether he did. I ended up sort of taking that clause out of my contract. We had a long discussion and we got on really well, me and Sean Day, really well, and we still do now. And he was open and honest enough to tell me why he was doing it. And I remember sort of trying to plead my case over and over again, saying that I can, like, you've only just come in and you know me as a striker. You think I can only play there, but I can play midfield as well. I can play on the wing if you need to. Trying to just add value to myself to make him reconsider that clause in my contract and carry on playing me. So I was pushing, actually, playing centre midfield. And he brought me on that game, centre midfield, when we were 6-0 up, I think, or might have been just 5-0. And I was awful. I was awful. I was like, oh God, I've blown it here. I've told him I can play centre mid and I'll be one of the best 3 centre midfielders at the club. And he brought me on for the last 20 minutes of that game, centre mid. And I was awful. I couldn't pass water. So I knew that was blown. And that, so yeah, that's probably what I remember the game for, looking back at it, and probably the reason why I tried to forget it.
Over the last few years, that seems to be a bit of a theme with United. We go through a good period, but then we don't seem to capitalise on it. And, you know, it's a repeating theme that we hope we come to an end. And, you know, we're in the same position now with Bonds having such a great end of the season. And we're all looking forward intently to you know, to what happens and how we capitalise on that.
It's about consistency, isn't it? Mm. It's about consistency. And going back to my first spell, there was that feel-good factor. First 12 games, we were mid-table, primed for a run at the playoffs, and then it all fell apart, really. I know we had the Man United game and stuff like that maybe you put down as the reason for distracting us, and our league form falling away. And then the start of the next season, we started off really well again with Barry Cole. We beat Newport at home 3-0, and it felt really good. Felt like we had that feel-good factor back and a bit of swagger, I guess, about us, and that we were one of the best teams in the league. And then it quickly fell apart again, which led to Richard's departure. And then again, we brought it back with Sean Derry. That feel-good factor came back, and then just missed out. And the following year, it's doing it consistently for a whole season. Yeah. And that's the key for every manager. Every manager wants to try and get that. What I'll say with Bonds is, from watching from the outside, you can see that you've clearly got a manager that loves the club and has already put his life and soul into the club for a number of years. I'm certain that he will, because of that, he will recruit players that will have that same attitude. And ultimately, you need to bring in players, and I've learned that bringing in players myself with Chelmsford, you need to bring in players that buy into the football club and what the football club's all about. You know, United in Endeavour is everywhere. United in Endeavour should be thrown in players' faces, and they should be talked about what the club is all about and the vision for the future of the club, because ultimately you want them to be part of that future. You want them to be embedded in the history of the football club forever, like Richard Money is and like all those players are that won the FA Trophy and got promoted. They'll forever be remembered as heroes, and rightly so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch this season. Hopefully Bonds is given the best chance possible to succeed, because we obviously want him to do that. Robbie, just lastly from you, before we ask you for your best Cambridge United game of the last decade, or in fact your whole time at the U.S., of course, before this last decade as well. Richard Money and Sean Derry, what were they like? Who did you prefer playing under? I guess comparisons, contrasting between the two.
Richard's very good coach. Very, very good coach. I said it the other day, I felt like he was probably at his worst when we had success. And when we won, it was very much because of him. And when we lost, it was very much that the players didn't perform. But, you know, he's a Cambridge hero. He's the manager that took us from the league back into the Football League. And rightly so, he'll always be a Cambridge hero. And, yeah, ultimately a very good coach. But Sean was different. I think he was very much a people person, very much honest with the players, would tell them straight, would try and get them to be vulnerable with each other and bring the group together that way. He was very, very good. This is from my time with him, of course. And yeah, I'll remain friends with Sean now. And we've set up a friendly with Palace under 23s because we speak regularly, which is great. And I wouldn't say he was as good a coach as Richard, but he had Joe Dunn. And also did Richard back end. But Joe Dunn was an exceptional coach. Really, really good coach. And I felt like him and Sean Derry actually complemented each other really well. And it was a shame that obviously they had to split and it didn't quite work out the following year. And then it was a shame for Joe that it didn't quite work out for him, because he is a great guy and a really, really good coach. But I doubt he'll probably go back into management. He's better suited to that sort of number two first team coach role, I think. I hope he thinks the same, otherwise he might watch this and send me a text.
I was shouted at by both managers in post-match interviews, and Richard Money was by far the scariest of the two.
I can imagine, yeah.
That sort of underlines what we've said about Joe as well, Tim, and that it was with Joe, it's almost a question mark with what if, because that summer, when we had that momentum leading into Joe's first full season in permanent charge, he appears on the outside, he didn't get the back in the transfer market, and it'd been really, really good to see, had he got that, how he'd have progressed with the club. Robbie, go on then, what is your best Cambridge United game of the decade? It can be as selfishly as you like to pick it on a personal reason or just generally at the club.
Yeah, of the decade. I mean, if you hadn't have said decade, I would have just said all shot away without even thinking. We've probably already mentioned them, to be honest with you. But for ones we haven't mentioned, I would have to say Luton in the FA Cup when we beat them 2-1. Yeah, great game.
Atmosphere good.
Yeah, atmosphere was amazing. Obviously against Luton. So, yeah, the rivalry there. We played really, really well. I scored, which helps. Ryan scored a great second goal. Wow, just shifted it onto his left and hit it so quickly. Keeper didn't stand a chance. Luton 1 stands out. Great day, great game. Another FA Cup run. Obviously, we ended up playing United, so you always remember the run that gets you to United, or some of the games that get you to play United.
Yeah, it's a bit of a spoiler because that might be popping up later on. Robbie, a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks so much for coming on. And all the best for Chelmsford, of course, this season as well.
Cheers, Robbie.
Thanks, Tim. Cheers.
So that's us done on another Cambridge United game of the decade. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to our guest, Robbie Simpson, for joining us to chat through the last two matches. Thanks also to BBC Radio Cambridgeshire for providing the excellent commentary clips throughout. If you miss any of today's episode and last week's, you can download the podcast from the Cambridge 105 Radio website, head to the catch-up section, or on our social media platforms at 105 Sport, both on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure to tune in again next week when we continue the countdown for the Cambridge United game of the decade. Bye-bye.